From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. A certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. It is fondly imagined by some that it must have involved very special privileges to have been the mother of our Lord, because they supposed that she had the benefit of looking into his very heart in a way which we cannot hope to do. There may be an appearance of plausibility in the supposition, but not much. We do not know that Mary knew more than others. What she did know, she did well to lay up in her heart. But she does not appear, from anything we read in the evangelists, to have been a better instructed believer than any other of Christ's disciples. All that she knew, we also may discover. Do you wonder that we should say so? Here is a text to prove it. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Remember the Master's words, Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So blessedly does this divine revealer of secrets tell us his heart, that he keepeth back nothing which is profitable to us. His own assurance is, If it were not so, I would have told you. Doth he not this day manifest himself unto us, as he doth not unto the world? It is even so. And therefore we will not ignorantly cry out, Blessed is the womb that bare thee. But we will intelligently bless God that, having heard the word and kept it, we have first of all as true a communion with the Savior as the Virgin had, and in the second place, as true an acquaintance with the secrets of his heart as she can be supposed to have obtained. Happy soul to be thus privileged. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his study in the Epistle to the Colossians. Dr. Cairns has shown how Paul established the truth that Jesus Christ is eternal God, the creator and upholder of all that exists. It is because Christ is the creator God that he can be the redeemer of his people. As the head of the church, he is the source of its life. As the originator of the church's life, Christ is the Lord of it. He has purchased the church's life by his death on the cross. Therefore, God the Father has purposed that Christ should hold first place. Further, Christ is preeminent in the fullness of his perfections. Thus, Christ is perfectly equipped to carry out his work of redemption. Then, Christ is preeminent in the success of his work. He alone can be the mediator and the reconciler between God and man because of the shedding of his blood on Calvary. As Dr. Cairns concludes this message called The Preeminence of Christ in Redemption, he asks what should be our response to all of this. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
God received Christ as the reconciliator, and he points our attention to the final development of the kingdom of the Son of his love. But you know, all this depends on one other thing, and that is God accepted him as the sole propitiator. God made peace. God reconciled all things through Christ, through the blood of his cross. I like the Bible's emphasis on blood atonement. I know it's old-fashioned. Well, if it's old-fashioned to believe the Bible, God save me from ever getting modern. The Bible makes much of the blood. I will make much of the blood as long as God gives me breath. I'm sick, sore, and tired of preachers denigrating the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Years ago, and of course this is something that really runs for a long time through church history, but years ago it became very popular, especially in certain Anglican circles in England, to speak about the reconciliation that God effected with humanity because of the act of incarnation. Now, actually, in the New Testament, you can't segregate or separate the incarnation from the life or from the death or from the resurrection. It's all ideally one perfect event, and one part depends upon the other. Sever any, and you've destroyed all. But it is totally false to say that by the mere act of incarnation, by becoming a man, God reconciled humanity unto him. In the Bible, humanity can only be reconciled by blood. There is no reconciliation without propitiation. The preeminence of Christ in his redemption is something that depends on his atoning death. Unless that death made a sacrificial atonement to satisfy divine justice, fulfill the demands of the holy law of God, then there is no redemption. But bless God, he died an atoning death. He satisfied God. He removed sin and the curse and the enmity from man. He purchased the new creation of heaven and of earth. He ensured that not one of those people for whom he shed his blood as a substitute and a sacrifice would ever perish. He assured us that his death was a propitiation. What does that big word mean? It was a true atonement. It was a sacrifice that forever successfully removed the wrath of God against all for whom it was made. That language may be a little strange to some of you. You may have grown up hearing that Jesus died with such a big-hearted goodness. And of course, what's being described is neither big-hearted nor good, but vaguely with some big-hearted goodness, a benevolent purpose to open a door of opportunity indiscriminately for everybody. I don't know what Bible the preachers read who talk that sort of nonsense. I've read this Bible scores of times. I have never once found one single shred of evidence in Scripture that my Savior died to open a door of opportunity or to purchase the chance of being saved. I read, He died to save His people from their sins. I read, He died to redeem, to propitiate God's wrath, to put it away forever. And I put it to you, the Scripture makes it abundantly clear in passages like 2 Corinthians 5:21, many others as well, but I put it to you, in the words of the old hymn, payment God cannot twice demand, first from my bleeding surety's hand, and then again from mine. If Jesus Christ put away the wrath of God against my sin, then sure it is grace that saves me, for it's grace that provided that. But now justice comes into step with grace, as it were, and it is justice that saves me, because the price has been paid. And God would be unjust. The very thought is unimaginable, must be repudiated. God would be unjust if He were to exact punishment from those for whose sins Christ had already borne all His wrath. No, no, He is the propitiator. What a glorious sacrifice He made. Let me sum it up. Our Creator became our Savior. No one less than God manifested in the flesh could ever accomplish our redemption. Let me sum up what I've been saying all day today. By divine right, He has the place of preeminence over all created things. By His personal accomplishment, He has gained the honor of holding the first place in all things in the entire realm of redemption. Now that's the teaching. Now comes the question. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? Paul didn't write all this that the Colossians may sit down and pat themselves on the back and say, "Now, how much more I know." Now, what do you do with this? I'll tell you, very simply. First and foremost, realize with whom you're dealing. When we come to God's house and we read this Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, I want you to realize the one with whom you're dealing. Recognize Him for who He is. It's easy to sit through a meeting, let your mind wander. It's easy to be young and frivolous and foolish, and it's just as easy to be old and frivolous and foolish. You listen, but you really don't listen. And you walk out and you forget everything. It doesn't really matter. But you see, if that happens to you, if you leave this meeting tonight, just dismiss it all, it tells you something very radical. You haven't come to terms with who Christ really is. I do not think it is possible for a person to be convinced in his heart as to who Christ really is. I know it's easy to give assent verbally and even flippantly, but I don't think it's possible for a person to come to any deep realization of who Christ really is without, like John on the Isle of Patmos, falling at his feet. Realize with whom you're dealing. Then secondly, fall before him in worship. We sang this morning from the 95th Psalm. Verse 6 says, "Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Bow before him. Fall at his feet in worship. And then cry. Plead. Pray. Take the first place in my heart. Oh, it's great to know that he'll have the first place in the entire cosmos. It's great to know that eternally he'll have the preeminence in all his redeemed. But Lord, take the first place in my heart, in my life, in order that in me Christ may be my all in all. I want in all things that in my life he will have the preeminence. I want to live for Christ. I want my life to tell for Christ. When it's all summed up and done, I want my life to have counted something for Christ. Oh, let me urge you to think of him. Get your eyes on him. There's nothing like a sight of Christ for stirring the soul to want your life to count for him. Forget about getting rich or getting famous. Forget about all the things that the world thinks are so wonderfully great. The only thing that matters, will my life count for him? A lot of you young people here tonight need to take that much to heart. Some of you are at a crossroads in life, and there's a lot in the balance. What direction are you going to take? What are you going to be doing with this life? I can't tell you what to do, what your job is going to be, where it's going to be. But I can tell you, let this be the defining element in the decision, that in all things Christ may have the first place. If Jesus Christ is God, C.T. Studd said, if you haven't read the life story of the great English pioneer missionary to China and India and Africa, yes, all three, get it and read it. But C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. In all things, in every part of my life, in every decision that I take, in every step along the journey, he shall have the first place. He is worthy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.